Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Via Skype in Hawaii, we are very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Ruth Heydrich, an 80-year-old champion vegan athlete, author, and cancer survivor, who for the past 34 years has been tirelessly spreading the vegan message to live healthier, longer lives. Dr. Ruth received her master's in psychology and received a doctorate in health education from UCLA. She is a vegan triathlete, a winner of 6 Ironman triathlons, 8 gold medals in the U.S. Senior Olympics, and 87 marathons, including Boston, New York, and Moscow. She is a breast cancer survivor and a vegan author of 4 books, and also she is a star in the documentaries Raise the Flag and Forks Over Knives. This is part one of a 2-part interview with Dr. Ruth Heydrich. Thank you, Dr. Ruth, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, I'd love to be here.
You are amazing and you are an inspiration. The first thing I'd love to talk about is your shopping at the farmer's market. What is the secret of your great health?
Well, I think it is primarily lots of leafy greens, fruits, and vegetables. We are so lucky to be living here in Hawaii, where we have access to bananas, papayas, mangoes, as well as the Chinese influence here, where we have bok choy, choy sum, lots of the different cabbages, which are of the cruciferous family, watercress, very, very healthy. So we get them right directly from the farmers who grow them and try to support them.
Wonderful. And how long have you been eating like this?
Well, let's see, it's 2016, 34 years now. It works. I mean, that's why I love to tell people, try it. You'll be amazed at all the changes that occur. As you know, I had stage 4 breast cancer, and as a marathoner, I was totally shocked and kept thinking, this, wait just a darn minute, there's got to be a mistake here. And I got second, third, fourth, fifth opinions, and they said, nope. I was so lucky to find that Dr. John McDougal was doing research on diet and breast cancer. And when I found this out, right after my diagnosis, many years ago, 1982, I called and asked about the research and got right through to him, and he said, get your medical records, I need to talk to you. And he told me that breast cancer was a diet-related disease. And I said, but it can't be my diet, I have a good diet. I had already had a year of nutrition in university and thought that I was eating the perfect diet. No red meat, chicken and fish, and low-fat dairy. So low-fat that it was Carnation instant milk. Well, he immediately disabused me of that notion that this was healthy. They were all animal products, and that was contributing to why I got breast cancer, and that being fit and running marathons was not enough to do it. So that's what changed my diet. I walked out of his office 2 hours later on a low-fat vegan diet, and what was really amazing was all the different changes I noticed. Besides the horrible bone pain that I had from the cancer, that started disappearing within days. My liver enzymes normalized by the next blood test. I started having more energy and was able to sleep. I kept right on running even after the surgery, running while I was still in the hospital, which amazed the nurses, thought I was nuts. And then started noticing that I had been constipated all my life and didn't know it. In fact, I had had so many problems, even Fisher surgery for the constipation, but was told by proctologists that going 3 or 4 times a week is normal for some people, and obviously I was one of those. After the dietary change, I found out I was not one of those. So that is one of the great blessings of this diet. No constipation. I had adult acne. I was taking tetracycline for that for years. that disappeared. I was using Selsun shampoo for the dandruff. That disappeared. My arthritis, I was taking Naprosyn. As soon as it first came out, back in the 70s, a rheumatologist put me on that. I'd been taking that for years. The arthritis disappeared. I'm telling you, you know, I kept shaking my head. Why doesn't everybody know about this diet? And here we are, 34 years later, trying to tell people how wonderful it is. So that's, in a nutshell, is kind of my story.
And thank you, Dr. Ruth, for sharing your story to help everyone in the world. That's right. We just all need to hear this message. Thank you.
Oh, another one. You know, when I had my medical records for Dr. McDougall, he's looking at the blood work, and he says, you know, with a cholesterol this high, 236, you are at as high a risk of dying of a heart attack as you are the breast cancer. And that was as if he'd slapped me across the face. Wait a minute. Cancer, and now you tell me heart disease? I'm a runner, for goodness sakes. And he says, no, it's the animal products. And don't worry about it, because my first reaction is it's too late. He said, by changing your diet, your cholesterol will normalize. And sure enough, within 3 weeks, my cholesterol went from 236 down to 160 on my next visit to him when he did the blood work. And he looked at that result and said, I can tell you didn't cheat because look at these results. And my other thought was, didn't cheat? Why would I cheat when I had all these benefits? And he said, you'd be surprised how hard it is for some people to change their diet. And yeah, he's right. You know, how many people still, a few have tried it and felt that it wasn't working for them or it was too hard to do, or you've heard all the excuses people give for not sticking with it. You know, I'm still trying to tell people, and when I was given the opportunity to be in Forks Over Knives, I thought, wow, here's a chance to maybe tell a few more people, having no idea the impact that Forks Over Knives has had around the world. On my website, I get all these emails from people who have just watched Forks Over Knives and are ready to make the change. It's amazing.
Yes, it really is. And I loved your role in Forks Over Knives.
Hooray! Good.
Oh, great.
It was so much fun because we had the crew there all day long and we did, you know, the shopping, running along the beach. I happened to be in Canada at the time, in the Vancouver White Rock area. So we had a beautiful setting and I showed them the urban trails where I ran in, gave the crew some fresh berries. That this was in the springtime, so we had all these, you know, I showed them how I could eat blackberries along the way. I guess it was in fall. The blackberries come around in August. So it was really fun doing that filming.
One of my favorite parts of the documentary is your explanations about the body's physiology. Could you share that again with the calcium?
Oh, yeah. When I reached, actually, I'm now 80, when I reached menopausal age, well, the diagnosis was at 47, and so I was having to give up dairy. And I'm telling Dr. McDougall, but wait a minute, if I give up dairy, I'm going to get osteoporosis. And he laughed and he said, with your running and this diet, you will not get osteoporosis. I said, where will I get my calcium? He says, all plants have calcium. And without the meat protein, your body hangs on to the calcium. If you're eating meat and dairy, what happens is these proteins are made of amino acid, and the acid is deadly to the human body. The blood has to be slightly alkaline, and to counter the acidity from amino acids, it pulls calcium from your bones. And that's why so many people in this country, in all Western countries, are prone to osteoporosis. It's from eating animal products. And I thought, wow, what? You know, here I'd been drinking all this milk, this carnation powdered skim milk to be low fat, and upping the protein, causing the very disease I was afraid of getting, osteoporosis. My mother had it, so I was aware of it at the time. The amazing thing was, hearing this, it was such a shock, so contrary to everything I'd been told in my nutrition courses and everything I'd read, doctors telling me I needed to take calcium supplements. I went to an independent research agency right here in Honolulu, had a bone density test. I didn't tell anybody, I just thought, I'm going to check it myself. Well, I came out with a reading of 4.11, which is high bone density, for higher, about what an average 35-year-old woman would get at her peak bone density. And I thought, oh, that's perfect. Ah, but at 47, 48, I'm still going into menopause, so maybe by the time I'm 50, it might start going down. In the meantime, I had seen on television the Ironman triathlon, and I thought, oh, that's being done right here. The swim, the 2.4-mile swim, was right off of Waikiki Beach. I can see it from where I live. And the bike was around the island of Oahu, 112 miles, and then they ran the Honolulu Marathon. Well, I knew I had the Honolulu Marathon handled, so I added swimming and biking. So with all this additional exercise, I didn't really think about it in terms of osteoporosis. So a year later, I went back to this same research facility, had my bone density retested, and it had gone up to 447. And, you know, this is not supposed to happen. When you're perimenopausal, you're supposed to be losing bone density because your estrogen, your ovaries are shutting down. Here, mine jumped up. And I thought, oh, well, I wonder if that's a measurement error or what's going on here. So they were surprised, too. They were doing research and had funding by a dairy company. This is not what they wanted to see, that I wasn't consuming any dairy. So I went back a year later, and this was after having done the Ironman and lots of races. I had was racing every weekend just to, as part of my training, because I knew the Ironman was going to take me. Well, they pull you off the course if you're not done in 17 hours. And it was called then a grueling exercise done only by crazies. Well, yeah, I was crazy because with that diagnosis of cancer and then possible heart disease and all that, I was strongly motivated. Plus, it was rewarding. I was feeling so fit and healthy and managed the stress of the cancer and started giving talks, and so everything was just working perfectly. So that opportunity to be in Forks Over Knives and to tell people, I thought, was wonderful.
Thank you, Dr. Ruth. It's time to take a break. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Heidrich on Vegan Nation. Dr. Ruth has been sharing information about her recovery from breast cancer by following a low-fat vegan diet. After the break, Dr. Ruth will be sharing information about the noble work of Dr. John McDougall and Dr. T. Colin Campbell in helping improve the mental and physical health and the personal and public health of the global population with a vegan diet.
Hello, this is Leo Hall, the Texas Blues Machine. I'm still on the road bootlegging the blues, and for 30 years, WCUW has been keeping the blues alive every Friday and Saturday evening. You can listen live online at WCUW.org or 91.3 FM Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and the world.
The Center at Eagle Hill, a supporter of WCUW. Mirage, A Circus Life, comes to the Abbey Theater at the Center at Eagle Hill, 242 Old Petersham Road, Hardwick, Saturday, January 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Mirage opens upon a lone clown-like character meticulously applying his makeup as the audience filters in. The performance tells the enticing tale of average boring men and women transforming into circus performers full of energy and brightness. As the performers execute aerial tricks and clown shenanigans, they introduce the idea that anyone can be whoever they want to be. The cast ties together circus acts with dance, theater, and narration. Mirage, A Circus Life, Saturday, January 23rd, 7:30 p.m. at the Center at Eagle Hill, 413-477-6746, center@eaglehill.org.
Tune in to Vegan Nation Fridays. Hear about the Go Vegan Ireland billboard campaign. In every train and bus station, 55 buses in Dublin, billboards throughout Ireland, as well as the Go Vegan Ireland posters in all colleges and universities in Ireland. Tune in for the interview with Sandra Higgins. Vegan Nation Fridays, 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on WCUW 91.3 FM and online at WCUW.org. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back from the break. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, on Vegan Nation. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Ruth Heidrich, as Dr. Ruth is sharing information about her vegan lifestyle at her home in Hawaii.
By the way, a guy named Mike Anderson had a movie out called Eating that was years before Forks Over Knives. He had what he called the RAVE diet, R-A-V-E. And he, I think, was instrumental in getting an audience in Hollywood, because that's where documentaries are made and the publicity machine starts working. So, and Mike's still promoting the same diet. This was, I think, in 1980, anyway, the late 80s. So we've been at this for quite a while. So.
Yes, I saw his documentary, Michael Anderson's documentary, Eating, and I like that documentary very much, just as much as I like Forks Over Knives.
Yep.
Oh, you're an inspiration, and it is. It's so important for everyone to hear the good news of the vegan diet. It's great for human health, great for public health, great for the animals, great for the environment. There's no downside.
No, it was only after I'd been vegan for, maybe 5 or 6 years, that my awareness of the wider implications of the diet started developing. It was only then I started hearing and reading more about the environmental impact and how sad it is to see what we're doing to this planet, plowing down our rainforests for grazing of animals, feeding our corn and soy crops to animals. And it's happening here in Hawaii too. It is so sad that so many people think that raising cattle is a good thing. And here, of course, in Hawaii, we are so dependent on shipping. I mentioned the farmers market. Another reason why I like supporting them is because right now, 80 to 90% of all our food is shipped in. If we had a crisis, a disaster of epic proportions, we would starve to death. There isn't nearly enough food here to feed the population of over 1 million people. And so I try to encourage our farmers as much as possible. There's this other element that's encouraging raising cattle for the same reason. They're saying, you know, we can't keep shipping in all our frozen meat, so we got to have our own cattle. And, it is so sad. They're so misguided. Oh.
I know. Thanks to health advocates and vegan activists such as yourself, I firmly believe the change will occur, which will be for the benefit of everyone.
Yeah. In 1990, when Dr. McDougall left Hawaii to go on to bigger and better things in Santa Rosa, California, he had his own clinic and 10-day live-in programs, there were 5 or 6 of us who were staunch advocates, patients of his, who got together, and we started, in 1990, started the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii. And with that group, starting with, I think we had 8 original members, Dr. Bill Harris, the author of The Scientific Basis of Vegetarianism, was the first speaker, and I was the second speaker. from breast cancer to the Ironman triathlon. That was the title of the talk I gave for our second ever meeting. So we started with a group of, by this time, about 8 people to now about 2,000 members. And we have great speakers from all over the country who come here. Michael Greger is wonderful. Have you read his new book, How Not to Die?
I haven't read it yet. I look forward to it.
It's wonderful. You know, as much as I know about nutrition and have read it, studied it, spoken about it, written about it, I was just absorbed in reading his book, How Not to Die. Michael Greger. Everybody has to have that book in their library because it's, you know, people have said, well, wait a minute, we all are going to die. Each chapter is how not to die from, and then he goes through the top 15 causes of death and how diet is so strongly implicated in that. It's wonderful. That there are so many assets out there now that people who just have no idea, all just need to look around. There are so many wonderful books. The China Study, T. Colin Campbell, who is another speaker we've had twice here out in Hawaii.
Wonderful. We'll be wrapping up the interview for today, and we'll continue with more news next week. Thank you, Dr. Ruth.
You're so welcome.
That's the close of today's interview with Dr. Ruth Heydrich, Olympic athlete, author, and star in the documentary Forks Over Knives. Dr. Ruth will be joining us again next week as we discuss her 4 books, The Lifelong Running, A Race for Life, Senior Fitness, The Chef Cook Raw Book, which I think is so clever, cheap, healthy, easy, and fast, as well as more information about the protein myth and details about censorship in the mainstream media of the vegan message in the mainstream media that Dr. Ruth experienced 34 years ago that's still happening today. Please join us again next week for part 2 of the interview with Dr. Ruth Heydrich. And now we have a very special edition. We're joined via Skype in Ireland with Sandra Higgins to get an update on the Go Vegan Ireland billboard campaign. Thank you, Sandra, for taking time out of your busy day to give us an update.
You're very welcome, Marlene, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, you as well. And the last we spoke, you were starting phase 3 of the Go Vegan Ireland billboard campaign.
That's right, yeah. So for 3 weeks over Christmas and into the new year, we focused on the dairy industry. So we had 150 ads outside supermarkets and other retailers who sell dairy products, along with 20 bus shelter ads and 11 very large billboards, all featuring the dairy ads. So the aim of that phase of the campaign was really to encourage consumers to make the connection between the individual animals who are traumatized and exploited in the dairy industry and the seemingly benign products on the shop shelves, the milk, the chocolate, the yogurt, the ice cream.
And so the street ads outside the stores are still up right now as we're speaking?
They're just coming down. That particular phase of the campaign attracted a good bit of attention. There were some radio interviews that your listeners can listen to. They're listed on my website. So the campaign at the moment now is still in the schools and colleges around Ireland, and it will stay there until the end of January, the beginning of February.
And are the billboards still up on the roadside?
Some of them are still up. A lot of them will be coming down now.
Next week, Dr. Ruth Heydrich and I will also be discussing how much censorship is still happening in the culture and in the mainstream media. And you experienced that as well in Ireland?
I did, yeah, I did. There is censorship coming from fear, and there's also censorship that I think is coming from lack of information, particularly in the dietetics industry, because we faced quite a few obstacles by dietitians who made statements in the media, on radio or in newspapers. Quite a few of them, of course, maybe even all of them, are employed by the meat, dairy, fishing and egg industries. But they've issued very serious misinformation that shows that they're operating from a place of belief in myth rather than in fact. Something that I'd like to work on over the next 12 months to work with the dietitians in Ireland, because I think they have a professional and an ethical obligation to tell people about evidence-based research. There's a growing body of evidence-based research that a plant diet is not only perfectly adequate but a very healthy way to eat. Also, that they need to be familiar with how easy it is for us to ensure that we eat a healthy diet by no longer looking at other animals as food. They're not foods. And I'm also going to try and do a scientific report on alternatives to animal agriculture in Ireland. I think it's very sad that Irish farmers are being led to believe that the security of food for the future, for the growing human population of this world, lies in the hands of animal agriculture in Ireland, because it's not feasible, it's not moral, it's not economically feasible. With climate change and environmental destruction, that is an absolute myth, but it's been sold as the truth to Irish farmers by the Irish government, and it's unfair to everyone. It's unfair to the farmers, but it's principally extremely unfair to other animals. You have a sense of freedom when you're eating a diet that does the least possible harm to all of life, which is the essence of what a vegan diet is.
What's happening with the Go Vegan Global campaign?
Myself and Joanna Lucas, the designer, we're just working at the design stage at the moment and on the practicalities of bringing that to other countries.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thanks very much.
That was psychologist Sandra Higgins, founder and director of the Go Vegan Ireland campaign, a public service public ad billboard campaign that will be coming into the United States in 2016, as well as other countries in Europe. Much thanks to vegan musician Joseph Peck for his Steel Pan Caribbean Band. I'd also like to let our listeners know that there's a current campaign in Denver, Colorado, a vegan billboard campaign with roadside billboards in high-profile locations. The billboards are Go Vegan Now, and the writing in the billboard is Milk Comes from Grieving Mothers. Please support the Peaceful Prairie Sanctuary in order to keep the billboards up throughout the remainder of January. The last announcement I have is a reminder that on January 17th is the International Vegan Campaign organized by James Aspey in Australia. The campaign is a global action for peace. Join thousands of vegans around the world to promote peace over violence. For more details about this campaign, listen to James Aspey's interview on the Vegan Nation Archives, and you can also listen to Sandra Higgins' interviews on the Vegan Nation Archives as well. And that's wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in, and see you next week for part two of the interview with Dr. Ruth Heidrich. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.